I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And let's do it. It's the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho and all the people listening, how you guys doing? Duff McKagan here. I was thinking of one thing. Number one rule, golden rule, don't be a dick, right? Just want to get that through there. That's my number one rule. You ever think of this, Chris Jericho? Jeremy Irons, the actor Jeremy Irons, do you ever think he maybe quietly chuckles to himself when he's ironing? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I actually like that one. And I like his golden rule. Don't be a dick. Good philosophy to live by. The joke, though, I actually like it. Jeremy Irons. The irony of Jeremy Irons. Thanks to Duff for delivering every Friday. The great joke without fail. Just like the Winnipeggers, new episodes drop every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Come laugh with me, Rybo, and Spivak. Dave Spivak, as we... take part in one of the hottest growing shows on YouTube and Facebook today. The episode of Winnipeggers released last night is great. It's all about this place in Winnipeg called The Ville. The Ville was a place that we grew up next to, just down the street from where we lived. That was a bowling alley, hotel, motel, arcade, bar, beer vendor, and strip club. Everything in one place. Did you go to the strip club when you were 15 years old? I did. I had the fake ID to prove it. So we have some crazy stories from our years hanging out at The Ville in Winnipeg. You can see it on my Facebook page or my YouTube channel. Check it out now. And also check out Powerhouse Will Hobbs from Team Taz. He's talking about his wrestling journey, how he came to AEW, getting his start in the ghettos of San Francisco, what it was like growing up seeing shows at the famous Cow Palace. We also talk about losing his older brother 10 years ago, how his older brother basically shielded him from bullets on the streets of where they lived, and how wrestling was their shared dream. How much it means to Will to be signed to AEW because of that. Will also talks about the influence of his grandparents, the way he felt when Sting, one of his heroes, debuted in AEW, what he learned from Brody Lee in the short time he knew him, and he tells the story about his WWE tryout. All this, Powerhouse Will Hobbs, starting now on Talk is Jericho. Will and I were just having a great conversation for about 5 minutes, and I realized I hadn't turned the recorder on. So I'm here with Will Hobbs, which is great because I had not been familiar with your work in the past until you came to AEW. And it's been great to see you because you came in the summer and in a very short time impressed enough people to now where you're in one of the top programs in the company. So how has your AEW experience been? Pretend that you didn't just say that.
I'm smiling right now because I still can't believe I'm here. When I leave San Francisco, coming to Jacksonville, I'm in, wow, every time. I'm on my way to work. I'm on TV, doing what I love to do. And there's so many people I know that hate their jobs, wish they could do something else, but I'm doing what I want to do. Since I was 4 years old, when I went to my first show at the Cow Palace, I'm doing what I love to do. I'm watching wrestling and in the bed with my grandparents, watching my grandparents getting mad over this and that. I'm happy because I know where I'm from. There's some little kid watching me and it's man, he's from East Palo Alto. He's doing his thing. I can do what I want to do. And just to look the looks on my kids' face when, you know, they're like, my dad's a wrestler, he's doing this. Like, it's amazing.
Like, and now it's almost like it's legit because you're on TV. Like,
yeah.
Well, if you're a wrestler and just working in the community centers and stuff like we all started, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But when you're actually on TV, yeah. now it's official that yeah. you're a wrestler.
Right? Yeah. My son, he's doing doing his classes on Zoom, and his teacher was wearing a AEW shirt, and he's like, you know, my dad wrestled for him. He's like, who's your dad? He's like, Will Hobbs. And you know, they spent like 20 minutes during class.
Oh, the teacher didn't know.
Talking about me, so it was cool, but I'm in wow every time. Just,
you know, it's funny. So you said something earlier that people used to make fun of you mm-hmm. to that you wanted to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
In what way?
They just thought, oh, why do you like that fake stuff? You know, you like guys in their underwear. I'm like, look, it's just, this is what I like. Like, just the drama, the just everything about it. It just, I was just drawn to it as a kid. It is. Probably because, you know, I grew up hearing stories about my grandparents when they moved from, they took a Greyhound bus from Hollaburg, Mississippi to San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
I think 1961, and they lived down the street from the Cow Palace. So all I heard was Ray Stevens, Pat Patterson, Kenji Shibuya, High Chief Peter Maivia, the Great Mephisto, you know, Roy Shire. That's all I heard about. Like, I didn't, football was cool, basketball, you know, but
wrestling was my thing.
Yeah. I had, we didn't have a lot growing up. You know, we had everything we needed, but my grandparents made sure that I had my action figures. You know, my big mama, my grandma would call them figurines or little men's, and I would just get so mad. I'm like, little they're men's. Wrestlers. I'm like, she's like, okay, whatever.
My guys.
Yeah. And, you know, she would call and order. I was like, I think it was one of the WrestleMania. She called the cable company. She's like, yeah, I want to order WrestleManiac. And I'm like, no, that's not how you say it. And she's just like, I don't care. But it's something that I loved. And my grandma and grandpa just always, you know, if you love it, don't worry about what anyone else thinks.
What I was saying to you before is it's interesting because so San Francisco obviously is a wrestling hotbed mm-hmm. from that era with the Cow Palace, which is still there to this day. And when yes. you go in there, it looks like it was made in the 40s, yeah. but it's a famous wrestling venue.
It is. I actually did two indie shows at the Cow Palace, so which was cool. And I remember getting yelled at by you at Super Brawl
because
I tried touching you, and you're like, get away from me.
It's against Juventud?
Yes.
That was my favorite WCW match.
And
Mask versus title.
And my grandma, she like had this look on her face where she just wanted to kill you.
Your grandma
like,
wanted to
yeah, for like
fight
yelling
me?
At me.
So just, did you try to touch me? And I said,
I did. Like, I didn't even know. We snuck down to the guardrail on the aisle, and my grandpa wasn't all for that. He's like, this is our seats. We got to stay here. My grandma's like, no, we're going down take there. And I'm trying to reach and touch you.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
You know, so I was going to say, though, that same thing for me. When I wanted to get in wrestling, I grew up in Winnipeg, mm-hmm. which is another wrestling hotbed at the time with AWA, then became a WWE kind of stronghold. And it was the same thing. People just thought, like wrestling, like this is like, what are you talking about? It's almost like telling me you wanted to be like a sword swallower
yeah.
or a mime in the circus or something. And I'll never forget this is that I was at church. I used to go to church a lot. I had a really good relationship with my pastor, and he told everybody Chris is moving from Winnipeg to Calgary to go to wrestling school. And people started laughing. I'll never forget that feeling of like people laughing because I wanted to go to wrestling school.
I've had that.
And that always stuck in my head where I was like, I'm going to make it now. Someone's gonna laugh at me. Like, I just had that passion for it. No matter what anybody said, mm-hmm. this is what I want to do. So let's just make it happen.
Yeah, no, dude. I forget what year it was, but I dressed up as Sting one year, and I got that's like awesome. Made fun of, you know. And it was whatever, like
Black Sting.
Yeah, and it just.
But that's, you know, I always find, like you said, like you mentioned, there's a lot of people that you know that have jobs that aren't. Mm-hmm. completely happy or just kind of accepting it.
Yep.
Whereas you and I lived our dream, and it's not easy to get there. And a lot of people don't appreciate it because they didn't get to live their dreams.
True.
So they always kind of look at you with a down your nose.
Just bitter.
Yeah, a little bitter. But I started watching wrestling with my grandmother too
mm-hmm.
when I was about 7. Because like I said, we used to watch AWA, and she hated Jesse the Body Ventura. I loved Jesse the Body because he was so charismatic, but I wouldn't tell my grandma that, so I would boo him too. But deep down inside, I'm like, I'm not going to disagree with my grandma, but I love this guy.
Yeah,
you know. So was it like that growing up with you?
It was. You know, I would like, I remember my grandma bought me a robe, bathrobe from Sears. And my sister had this little bedazzler kit, and she tried hooking it up like Ravishing Rick Rude, and my grandma was just so mad. And but yeah, my grandma always loved the, you know, the baby faces, and sometimes I would just be a smart ass and go against her, and you know, and she would kind of like haze me a little bit, but then you know, sitting next to Big Mom, you know, it was good because she knew I enjoyed it, and right. She enjoyed it as well, and it's. Just like I heard my grandpa would tell me a story about they went and saw Rocky Johnson at the Cow Palace. And I think he was teaming with Peter Mavia. And I think she said he was working, I want to say Pat Patterson. I forget the other person, but Rocky was just getting beat and beat and beat. And my grandma was just getting so mad. My grandpa was like, she wanted to hop the barricade and this and that. It's good stuff.
The people that they were so passionate about it too. Yeah. And you would always, not so much now because wrestling's more for younger people, but when I started, you'd always have that one old lady, grandma.
Yep.
The one lady in Winnipeg, she had a hat pin. Like back in the day, a pin would put like a flower on the side of your Sunday best hat, and they would take the pin and basically stab the heels in the ass, like stabbing them with their hat pins. And what do you do? Man. Fight a granny?
Yeah.
Oh, but it seems that you were raised by your grandparents?
Yeah, I was okay. I was raised by my grandparents from the time I was born. Gotcha. Like I was always with them. Gotcha. You know, Big Mama and Papa. That's what we called them.
Yeah.
I was raised by them, and everything that I know how to be a responsible adult, like they taught me. They raised their kids and turned around and raised their grandkids, which is a tough job, you know. But I'm so grateful that I had them, because if I didn't have them, I would, just the environment I grew up, I would either be dead or in jail.
Be on the streets.
Yeah, my grandma did not want that. Like, she did not play. Well, 5'5" woman from Mississippi, she didn't play.
We're all scared of our moms and grandmoms this day.
She did not play.
So what was how was your journey to get into wrestling then? Like when you decide you want to do this from a young age, when do you finally go, okay, now I got to figure out how the hell I'm going to do this?
So I grew up going to all pro wrestling shows in Hayward. Remember the movie Beyond the Mat?
Well, let me give you a little quick story. So you're talking Hayward, California.
Yes.
So when in about 1992, I was in Canada just wrestling indies. I said, I got to get out of Canada. I got to go to the States and try and get on TV or something. And my dad was dating a lady who's now married to that was living in Palo Alto, which you mentioned.
Yes.
So I went there on airline points, and I worked for, I believe it was All Pro. It was Hayward, California, and the promoter was Woody Farmer.
Okay.
And Shane Cody was his son, and they had a little TV show that they filmed in like a warehouse in Hayward that was on Sports Channel America. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to make it. I'm on Sports Channel America. It was probably... you know, penetration of 75 homes across the country. But so I actually spent a little bit of time in Hayward.
Yeah.
I don't think it was called Old Pro, but the promoter's Woody Farmer, old school brother, you know, typical, you know, everybody's bowing to Woody Farmer and well, we'll give you a shot, kid. Meanwhile, I'm better than the whole f-ing roster after 2 years because no one knew what they were doing. But so I know that area and know the kind of the promotions that are there.
Yeah. I've seen that match on YouTube.
With Shane Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just surfaced.
Yes. I saw someone like reposted on Twitter and I watched it. I was like, okay.
So when you went to those shows, were those guys there or was that kind of you?
They were, those guys were, I believe, on their way out when I was going there. But.
So it was All Pro Wrestling is what it was called.
Yeah. So I ended up watching shows growing up there, and I always wanted to do it, and my grandpa was like, oh, yeah, you know, too skinny, you know, just you're good at football, let's stick with that. And it got to the point where I was talking to my grandpa, and he's just like, look, I don't want to hear 20 years from now that I stopped you from doing what you want to do, and if you want to go do it, cool. I don't have the money for it, so what are you going to do? So I ended up getting a job at Best Buy, and scrapping up money. Like I didn't have enough for the full tuition. I had to pay monthly.
And you mentioned the movie Beyond the Mat.
Yes. So that's the actual school I went to. It's that one, the one famous scene where the guy was about to throw the fan off the balcony.
Mm.
I guess like for throwing something at him or spitting on him. So that's the actual school that I went to.
Was it Roland Alexander?
That's Roland Alexander School.
Yeah, because he was all over that Beyond the Mountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Roland was always good to me. Mm. Always make sure I had what I needed. He actually had someone give me a pair of wrestling boots, like my first pair of boots. So I still have those boots. So that's where I got started. We had 23 people in our class, and only two of us were left at the end. So there's times I've setting up rings, driving 6 hours to go set up a ring, do ring crew, do security, watch the show, load the ring back in the truck, and then drive 6 hours back home, not getting paid nothing. Mm-hmm. First thing I got thrown into, since I had generic gear and boots already, got thrown into Battle Royal. Vets got a hold of me. Okay, cool. My trainer got me, told me to throw a punch. He ducked. I was on the ropes, clothesline me, took me over. I thought that was like amazing. Like I'm in here, I'm doing something.
That's it, right?
Yeah, and then they had the Battle Royal on YouTube. I would just skip to the part where I'm at and like, okay, I took that over the top rope pretty good.
I think I have enough for a highlight reel now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And just, I'm doing what I want to do. Like I knew from there, like of course it was going to be hard, but I can't complain, man. Like I would do that whole journey and glad I'm on this journey now. I'll do all that over again.
But that's how you learn respect for the business. And you also learn life lessons too.
Yep.
You know, it's one of the things that like a lot of guys train now. Maybe they go to NXT, for example, or maybe they're here just from QT school or whatever it may be. And that's great. But it's the experience that you get. Like you mentioned, 6 hours setting up the rings. Oh, the tire blew out. Got to wait on the side of the road for the guy to come fix it or whatever. Like all that stuff really makes you think like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And most of the time the answer is like, yeah.
Yeah. Like all my friends are out partying on the weekends and what am I doing? I'm going to wrestling shows. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you don't hang out with us? Well, sorry. Like right. I'm doing what I want to do. Like,
so did you mostly just stay in that Bay Area? Or did you
I stayed in the Bay Area and then I reached out to Booker T, did a couple shows at his school.
Did you know him or just?
I didn't. I
cold
just,
called him?
Yeah, I just saw a number on the internet and was like, this is the number to Reality of Wrestling called. Did a couple shows there.
Hold on, when you called, who answered?
I believe Charmel, his wife.
So what do you say?
I was nervous. I was like, hi, my name's Will Hobson. I'm interested in coming out for a show. I'm going to be in the area. And then she ended up passing him the phone. And
was it, hey, man.
Yeah.
He was Do you think you were serious at first? A little bit gruff, maybe?
Yeah. And I was like, is this?
Yeah, what you want, man?
Is this book for real? And I didn't want to ask that, but I just let him know I was going to be there, sent him some info. And then down the line, I end up meeting Rikishi. And Gangrel did some stuff, matches at Knox Pro. Got a lot of game from Rikishi.
So just to go back to the Booker thing. So did you go to Houston? Were you going to be in the area or were you flying there just for the shows? That's great. And that's awesome that you did that.
Yeah, the tag partner that I had at the time, we scraped up some money, got hooked up on some Southwest tickets, stayed in the shittiest Motel 6 ever, unless, you know, I'm from the hood, so the part of town we were in, it didn't matter
for you to
me.
Say that this is the shittiest you hotel know, ever.
And I'm just like, I'm from the hood, but I don't know if I would stay here, but it was worth it.
Just to get the experience and make contacts. And
yeah, you know, and I'm still in contact with a few people down there, and end up later on going down to Knox Pro.
Just talk about that, because I know that the Rikishi, obviously, huge star in the WWE.
Yes.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great worker, too.
Oh, yeah.
Typical Samoan.
Yep.
Every Samoan's a great worker, or Islander, Tongan as well. So tell me about that time that you spent with him.
So I was in the tag team at the time, and we went down there. It was about a six-hour drive from Hayward to Los Angeles where they were at. So we will make the trip back and forth. But the thing that I picked up from him is just don't quit. Do what you need to do, and things will happen. Like, treat this craft with respect. If you treat it with respect, it will eventually be good to you. And, you know, he taught me just how to put on a show. You know, I still working on it. You know, I don't want to get, you know, just be happy where I am. I want to do other things.
Yeah, That's the sign of a true professional.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever he's in the Bay, I think we did an indie show maybe about 2 years ago. He was up there and just instantly gave me a big hug. Like, how you doing? I've been watching you. You know, stick with it, Ouse. And I ended up doing working with Ezekiel Jackson for about 4 years, learning from him, his school, Brick House Pro. So the way I put it is I'm getting all different flavors. You know, it's like Baskin Robbins. I'm getting game from here, 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 here. You know,
that's how you learn and figure out what your style is.
Yeah.
You know, take a little bit from each place and each guy and shake it all up in a Will Hobbs blender. Yeah, and this is me, right?
You know, my grandma used to say, you put it in a pot and mix it like gumbo. So that's, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Are either of your grandparents still with us?
No.
Okay.
My grandparents that raised me passed away in 07 and 2009. So
had you already started in the business by chance?
I was just getting into it.
Okay.
I was just getting into it. My grandma passed away in 07 and I wasn't into it yet. It was the fact that after my grandpa passed away, it was like, okay, I got to do this.
Right. That was your catalyst, huh?
Yeah.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, Will. What finally brought you to AEW?
I ended up getting a text from QT, and I thought somebody was ribbing me. And I was like, okay, I looked at it, put my phone down, answered it a couple hours later, and said, hey, this is QT Marshall from AEW. Are you local to the Jacksonville area? I said, no, but I'll find a way to get out there.
So how did he find you?
So Marcus Mack, he actually is the promoter and owner of All Pro Wrestling, and I believe he reached out to Cody. And
gotcha. We got a guy here that you should take a look at, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I believe Cody remembered me from the couple shows he did in the Bay Area. So
because wasn't there, you mentioned you did a couple shows at the Cow Palace. There was a really big indie show at the Cow Palace.
Yeah, it was Cody. I forgot who Cody was working. It was a big cage match.
Right.
Cody was out there, so it was.
And it was like, was it based around some other matches as well? I'm just trying to think.
Yeah,
of what,
but
the
we had
that was.
Jeff Card on the Cobb.
Jeff Corn on the Cobb.
And Brian Cage was on the card. It was a lot of action that night, I believe.
Did you draw a good crowd?
Yeah. I think the house is maybe a little over 5,000, which was great.
That's huge. That's basically more than WWE would do at this place.
It was huge. And the fact that I used to go there and I got to walk down the same aisle, like you and other people before me.
Classics,
yeah,
right?
It was amazing. Like, I took my time walking down that
aisle. It says Cody versus Kenny Omega. Was that the match?
No, at the Cow Palace?
At the Cow Palace. That might be, was it Cody versus Joey Ryan?
Yes, yes.
There you go. So I think the New Japan did a Cow Palace show too.
They did.
So anyway, so that was the big show. So walking down the aisle for you.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I'm just like, damn.
His dress room's upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. And my boy was like, you know, this is the room where Eddie was in after he won the WWE championship.
Palace,
and I'm just like, man, I'm walking around. I see the old school pictures. I see a picture of Mr. Perfect and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I remember every time I used to come here, I used to look at that picture. And they had pictures of like Elvis Presley when they had like 11,000 people in there, the Jackson 5, Frank Sinatra,
Beatles.
You know, I'm like, man, I'm actually in the building that has like so much history.
And my
and my grandpa was like, you know, the Cow Palace is the mecca of the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
like for everything.
You know, it's funny because
there's always different stages of making it. Mm-hmm. You know, my first match against my first match, and then my first match against someone that I'd seen on TV. And the first time I wrestled in the Winnipeg Arena, which is where I grew up watching wrestling, was like it was the greatest moment. You know what I mean? But as soon as you do that, now, okay, what's the next goal? Yeah. Like, working the Cow Palace is great. Then once you did it, now I got to figure out what the next big step is.
And it's just...
Right. So QT gets the number, calls you up and says, are you local to Jacksonville? And you're like, I'll be there.
Yeah. And I hadn't... We were getting by, me and my family at the time, because, I mean, I just got laid off.
That's right. Where were you working?
I was working at Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
So I was... helping with the facilities department. So I would start work like at 3-4 in the morning, make sure everything is set up in place. If there are any tickets coming in, I'd take care of all the people in there. Yeah. So, and I got laid off due to the pandemic, and my daughter was just born. She was 2 months old at the time. So I'm like, do I want to travel during this time? And I'm like, I got two other kids. I'm like, I got to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And then I came out here, and it was amazing. Everybody came up to, hey, how you doing? Like, you can look in someone's eyes and tell if they're bullshitting you. Mm-hmm. And people come up to me shaking my hand that I don't know, like, hey, how are you? You know, good to see you. And I introduce myself to people, and people look at me in my eye, oh, hey, my name's this and that, you know, pleasure to meet you. And I'm like, golly, like, I want to work here. And then, you know, I go to the famous board and see who I'm supposed to work. And it says Will Hobbs versus Scorpio Sky. I'm like, okay, I know Scorpio from Cali. You know, we've been on a few indie shows. I go eat, come back and check the board. It says Will Hobbs versus Orange Cassidy. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, they switched it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Was that on Dark or was that on Dynamite?
It was on Dark.
Right.
And at this time, you and Orange like had that feud going. Right. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm working the hottest baby right now who's in the feud with the hottest heel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is about to be on. Then I look over at the time, it says 30 seconds.
Really?
I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is cool. I'm like, I figured what was coming. And, you know, I ran into Orange, and he's like, introduced himself to me, and he's like, hey, man, sorry about, you know, this, you know. And not getting a lot of time. I said, look, I was like, I'm here to do a job. You're working with the hottest heel right now. Mm-hmm. You're the hottest baby right now.
You need a big win.
Yeah. I said, there's a size difference between us. And I'm thinking in my head, nobody's going to expect, you know, me to take any, you know, shit. But we worked out the match, and me and Orange are talking, just goofing off, talking about James Brown albums. And comes the time, Orange is in the ring, and he puts his hands in his pocket, and I'm talking junk to him in the ring, and I charge him. He moves, Superman punch, boom, 1, 2, 3. And I'm like kind of peeking out my eye, looking around the crowd, and I see people in the, you know, in the audience.
A rogues gallery.
Yeah, just like looking like, what the hell happened? And I knew then from there, it's like, man, I'm going to guess, like, this has to be on like some replays. And it was like, the package you guys had, they showed a couple clips of him knocking me out. It is awesome. Like, I cannot complain. Like, I was getting blown up. People telling me, whoa, why'd you do that? Why'd you job out like that? And I'm thinking in my head, like, if you were here, you'd be doing the
you
same thing.
You don't get
thing. It,
yeah.
It's not about me winning. It's about me making him look good, because he's going into something that's way bigger than me.
And what you said, doing the job, is we're saying that doing the quote-unquote job, wrestling jargon, you are doing the job that you were called to do.
Yeah.
Like, if we were acting in a movie and the idea was Will Hobbs comes in and punches Chris Jericho in the head and his head explodes, like, okay, great. That's the script. Yeah. That was your job for the night. And because you did a great job, then you get a chance to do more.
Yeah, it did. Jobs, and I had people thanking me, like, oh, thank you for doing that. I'm like, you don't need to thank me. I appreciate it. But
let's also watch to see how you're going to react.
Yeah, I was happy. Like, when I got home from the tapings, I had some dental work done, and then I went and got my hair cut, and then a couple guys in the barbershop were like, hey, I saw you get knocked out by that little dude. And I'm like, dude, like, look, my mouth is swollen. Like, you know, I was like, oh, for real? I'm like, yeah, like, he got me, man. He, like, put me out. And it's just an amazing thing. And I got people, you know, on social media and people that I know, like, why would you let him do that to you? And I'm like, it's not about that. Like, don't talk to me. Like, leave me alone. Like, I don't need that shit. I'm here to do a job.
Do the work, right.
So
then they asked you back the following table?
Yeah. Asked me back. I ended up doing six man with was me, Sean Dean, and Joe Alonzo, you know, being Dark Order. And that I got the hot tag and I got to, you know, show some stuff. Mm-hmm. So I got that big spine buster in. My whip power slam got in and it just went off from there. And then I ended up doing security work for Britt Baker. And I think I was her security for like 3 weeks. And she was totally awesome. She's like, when I met her, it was like talking to someone that I knew from high school. Mm-hmm. Like it was like an instant click. And she's definitely been a big supporter of me and along with other people. And it's just amazing. Like when I would go home, I would like be like, damn, I got to go back home. Like when's the next taping? Like I couldn't wait to get back out.
But you fit in. That's the thing that was cool, because I know from the start that Tony really, I mean, you got a great look obviously, mm-hmm. and you could tell that you had some experience. So there was really not no brainer, but once again, didn't know anything about you. So like, okay, where has this guy been with a guy that looks like you that I've never seen around before? It was just such a, like, it always amazed me. I was saying this last night, how much great talent we have on our roster that I didn't know. I thought that like WWE was scooping up everybody, mm-hmm. but they weren't, because dude, there's so many guys on our roster that didn't go there, didn't want to go there, didn't try and go there.
Yeah. You know? And it's just, I'm just, I think I might have told you this before, like when you sat down with me to watch one of my matches, and I've talked to, got help from like FTR, Cody, Dustin, QT, JR, Tully, numerous people here. You guys are taking your time to sit down with me and talk to me, and that means a lot to me. It means you're investing in me. Mm-hmm. So I just, man, that it just means a whole lot. Like, of course, I don't want to let myself down, but I'm like, I really feel that there's a team atmosphere here.
Well, here's another thing, Will, that's really cool, is a lot of guys don't do that. Go mm-hmm. the extra mile to ask for help. Like, I'll watch anybody's matches. Yeah. Anybody.
I know you will. You watch mine.
Yeah, but yeah, and that's because you asked me and we did it. So a lot of people don't. Maybe they're too intimidated. Maybe they don't care. But when you ask, we have that type of locker room where it is a team.
Yeah.
And we expect, I always say, like, everybody here is on the roster to be a star.
Yep.
No one's here like, oh, he's designated to be the prelim guy, or he's designated, like, that doesn't work that way. Everybody here will get a chance, and then the dust will settle and people will settle into where they will be. But everybody here is a star, whether it's first match star, middle match star, last match star, there's room for everybody on the team.
Exactly. And it's that's right there means the world. So it means a whole lot. Like, man, the guys that I've watched are taking their time out to help me.
All right, well, let's get back to you coming to AEW. How and when did you finally get signed?
So I did the All Out Battle Royal. Mm. So that day meant a lot to me, is the anniversary of my brother passing.
Yeah, I want to hear that story too. You tell when you
did that, wasn't signed yet. I got a elimination, was in there.
Your first pay-per-view,
I'm assuming? Yeah, first pay-per-view ever. Yeah. You know, except for when I was young and I would pretend I was, you know, in the front yard wrestling. You know, I was on every pay-per-view then, but it was my first pay-per-view ever. Like, I was nervous. You know, I had MJF come up to me and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, dude, I'm nervous. And he looked at me and was like, hey, he's like, you're here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, let's get it. You know, did the battle royal, got some eliminations, had a big spot with Lance, and it was on from there. Then the following week I did a match with Darby Allin on the Saturday Night Dynamite. Mm-hmm. That was cool. And Tony came up to me and was like, I want to offer you a deal. And I'm like, what? And I'm just like, he's talking to me and I'm like, kind of like shaking a little bit. And I'm trying to play it off cool. And, you know, he's like, I got to get back here. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll talk. Got on the phone, called everybody at home. And, you know, it was amazing.
It's a great day, huh?
Yeah, it was the tier zero deal, but it's still a deal.
It's a deal.
You know, yeah. I never had nobody give me like no contract.
It's a contract with regular paycheck in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly. Yeah. So, which was awesome. And then I end up getting a tier one deal, you know,
Oh, right, so you got bumped up another.
Yeah, okay. Right after I did the thing, what came out and saved Mox.
Right. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Came out with a chair.
Yeah.
Like
where I'm from in East Palo Alto, it's a 2 square mile city. Everybody knows everybody. Like I had a gang of people in the hood calling me. It was like, you did that with Mox. He was in there, this and that.
Is it the same person that called me when I lost in 30 seconds to the little guy?
It was. Yeah. It was one of those people. But, you know, I was just so excited. And then when I saw on Twitter that said Will Hobbs is all elite, like I got home,
yeah,
opened up the door, and just and I cried. Like, it is like, man.
Just look at that graphic.
Yeah.
Hobbs all elite.
Sat down and cried and thought about just all the people said I couldn't do it, all the teachers that said I would be dead by the time I was 19. You know, basically everybody just telling you you wouldn't be shit. Like, mm-hmm. It's an amazing feeling. Like, it just,
it's cool too. Like, you can tell that you come from good stock. Your grandparents must have been great people, because I remember I just thought about this right now, when something happened where you accidentally like potatoed Luther or something, and mm-hmm. you brought him a bottle the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I felt so bad. I didn't mean to. Like, we all,
well, it's wrestling. It happens.
Yeah, I believe Bret Hart said it in the Wrestling with Shadows documentary. It always stuck with me when I watched it as a kid, because I had it on VHS, that at the end of the day, we all should take off our boots. Like, we had a hard days at work and not get hurt. And Luther was good to me my first day. He's like, hey, I know, you know, Adam, you know, we had a common mutual friend. And I felt bad. Like, man, I didn't mean to, you know, hit my boy like that.
Elbow him in the face or something.
Yeah, I end up grabbing, like, hitting him in his back.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Golly. And it's just, anytime I see Luther, we give each other a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a tremendous dude. And I just felt bad, but I'm like, look, let me make this right. You know, you didn't say I didn't have to do anything, but
that's a classy thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's cool.
So
when he told me, I was like, that's really cool, man. That's really cool.
I'm just like, you know, we all here to work, man. So,
but let's talk about your brother. You told me the story before, but there's mm-hmm. there's a big story here. And you yeah. mentioned being from the hood.
Yeah.
And had you not got into wrestling, you could be dead or in jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened with your brother.
Yeah. You know, he's we were tight.
Older brother?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He wanted to get in the wrestling business, and he wanted to be my manager. Tall, lanky dude, like slick. You know, could talk. Could, you know, we always said he could sell Eskimo snow. So he had that type of game. And, you know, just getting into the wrong crowd and, you know, just end up just not doing what you're supposed to do. Like, it just, he ended up getting shot. And I end up, you know, getting hit in the forearm, and
you were with him.
Yeah,
when the gunfight broke out.
Shut up, shoved out of the way. So it's
he shoved you out of the
yeah.
way, and then took a bullet.
Yep.
Wow.
And it's
how old were you at the time?
I was 22.
Wow. So you're fairly old at that point in time, man. Mm. So this is kind of a shared dream then?
It is.
With your brother?
Yeah. It's a shared dream with him, and I stay along with all my grandparents, and it just, I tell you, like on the day of All Out, September 5th, like I wanted to like say something, you know, and like this was for him, but I just, it's been 10 years and I still like it. It still hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to cry.
I just find it's a very interesting story. Like for me, like I had, my mom had a really bad accident right when I was in wrestling school. And I was like, well, do I quit wrestling? And she's like, no, like you continue on and you mm-hmm. do this. And I was like, if I'm going to make it now, like if this is the sacrifice that I'm making, leaving my mom to go find my fame and fortune because she want me to, you better believe I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
Did you kind of have that drive?
I had it
from your brother and your grandparents. There's no second plan.
There's no second guessing anything.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, I got kids,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and it's, you know, I have my older son at a young age, and I look at him and my my younger son, how tight they are. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me so much of me and my brother.
What was your brother's name?
Tyrone. So it was, yeah. Everything I do, like, is for them. You know, I got so many people depending on me. And, you know, I feel like I have my city depending on me. Like, I can't let people down. Like, I can't. I refuse to. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me so much. I just, everything I have to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have fun here, but it is still business. And I got goals that I want to accomplish.
What kind of goals do you have?
I want to be world champion.
Mm-hmm. That should be your goal. That should be everybody's goal.
I want to be world champion. I want to, when we eventually get to being in arenas doing what we do, I want to headline stuff. You know, I want to be the one that does everything. I want to be the captain of the ship. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be in your
leader.
Yeah, I want to be like how you are, how you were with me, how you are with other people. Sit down and talk to them, teach them, guide them. Like, that's what I want to do.
That's cool.
I want to go down as being one of the greats. Like, we just had a newspaper article about me, like, in San Francisco, San Jose Mercury News.
Oh, yeah?
You know, Palo Alto Daily. Like, I was on the front page of those. I'm like, man.
What was the headline?
It says, pro wrestler makes it big time.
Local boy makes it.
Yeah, yeah. Had the meanest picture of me, you know. Look at all mean with the lip snarl, and it's just awesome. Like, I just think the experiences, the life experiences I've had, like, mm-hmm. growing up, I've had people put stuff in my backpack saying, "Hey, before you get on the bus, you need to go down that house," mm-hmm. like taking out all my books. My binders, notebooks, school books, putting stuff in my backpack. If you go to that house,
you're the mule.
Yeah. Yeah. And who's going to look at a 7-8-year-old kid walking down the street? The cops aren't going to look at me.
Something that 7-8-year-old kid should never have to experience.
Yeah.
They're
not going to look at me. You're like, I've had people tell me, "Hey, when I get off the bus, go walk the other way home." Like, you don't want to be here when this is about to happen.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I get out, like, right. The bus stop was about a half a block away from where I live. So I would just get off the bus, half a block, go home. I had to walk 8 blocks before I got home. And my grandma was like, "What the hell took you so long?" And I just explained to her, like, "Big mama, like, they told me I had to go this way."
Was there something going down?
Yeah, yeah. It was just about
drive
to be
by or something.
Yeah, big fight, big brawl, shootings, you know. So she's like, okay. And, you know, my
different set of rules when you live in that environment,
yeah,
isn't there?
And everyone respected my grandparents so much where we live. Like, my grandpa was the type to buy all the neighborhood kids ice cream when the ice cream man came by. Like, everybody would call him Mr. Mo.
Mr. Mo?
Yeah, his last name was Moore, but, you know, he would introduce himself as Mo. So everybody called him Mr. Mo, buy him ice cream, and just... The older crowd, they, like, knew who my grandparents was. So there was a lot of times that I got looked after. Like, if I was getting bothered and I let someone know, they'd be like, "Okay, well, you ain't got to worry about them."
Mm-hmm.
So everything I've learned from growing up, like, what I traded, no, because it made me who I am. Mm-hmm. So it just, there's a lot of things I wish I didn't have to go through, but I'm here.
Stronger, right?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, you mentioned that you had a tryout with WWE, or mm-hmm. did you go for one of their, because their 3-day camps are basically just drills, right? Did you go for one of those?
I went for one of those. And
how did you get hooked up there for that?
I got a email saying, "Hey, we would like to invite you out for a trial." It was after I did a couple dark matches there in the area. Did the 3-day tryout.
What do you do during those 3 days?
Cardio drills, blowing
crazy, right?
Up. Like, I thought I was going to be in the best shape. Like, I dropped down from 253 to, I think, 222, like, trying to get my cardio up. And I was like, okay, just getting blown up. But in my class, I had Eddie Kingston. and I had Big Swole there.
Oh, wow.
So, like, ever since then, like, we've stayed in contact. It was cool.
And none of them got signed, right?
No. And just those 3 days were just getting blown up. I remember getting cramps and went to the local Walmart. And, like, Chris, I kid you not, I bought so much Pedialyte. Trying to rehydrate, yeah. I was hurting.
Get the electrolytes back.
Yeah, and then we end up like the last day, we end up doing promos.
Who was helping you with those?
It was William Regal was leading it, leading the promo class, and he came up to me and said, you know, he liked my promo because I used my real life situation.
What a story! You don't have to make anything up. It's right there.
And a lot of people cut wrestling promos and. I was told then, like, that day, like, you want to get emotion out of people. Like, nobody knew my story. And there was probably maybe about 60 of us in this tryout. And I cried during it, like, the whole minute that I had. And, like, the whole thing, willpower is not a gimmick. Like, that's me. Everything that I've gone through, you got to have willpower. Mm-hmm. Like, most people I know, like, couldn't go through this shit, and it's just right.
And the thing is too, you can use those experiences as a heel or a baby face. It works either way. You know, and that's why it's right there. It's the, you know, and not the circumstances behind it, but it's the perfect backstory for you to latch onto as a character.
And I just took me a while like to get comfortable like with saying everything, but unfortunately I'm pretty sure there's someone else that has been through my situation that hopefully they can get some type of inspiration out of it.
So you do the thing with the WWE, William Regal likes your promo.
Yeah.
Then what happens after that?
I get an email about 2 months later saying, oh, you know, we don't have anything for you right now. But when we come to town, you know, we'll bring you in for extra dates. And it was... At the time, it was like, damn, because I put so much into, like, training, you know, doing this and that. And then you just tell me, you know, we're interested, but we don't have anything for you right now. Okay, cool. But after that, I probably maybe did 5-6 extra stuff with them, you know, when they came to town and nothing of it. Mm-hmm. I had... good little tryout matches. Let me know if, like, they do the show
for kinda. Like Scott Armstrong and
and John Scott, Cone or whatever. Yeah, Scott was always cool with me, and I'm like, okay, well, what's gonna happen? I'm getting all this like great feedback, you know, like what can we do? Nothing. You know, I get out there every time, oh, you did good, you know, we like this and that. Okay. Like,
it's just a stroke.
Like, I got game from my grandparents, you know, just when someone's trying to pull one over you. And, you know, we had a neighborhood guy in the hood, like that name, Gil, that would just try to just pull stuff over you. And I remember my grandpa and uncle sitting in their truck eating peanuts, talking about, you know, like, who the hell is he going to try to get over today? Like, look at him. Like, he asked to borrow my grandpa's lawnmower. And my grandpa was like, motherfucker, you're not borrowing my lawnmower, like, because I'm never going to see it again. You know, and I picked up a game from them quick, and I knew that I was getting BS'd. Mm-hmm. And then when I did my match with Darby in the Saturday Night Dynamite, I get an email and say, hey, you know, we're interested, you know, basically we've been thinking about you, and it just pissed me off. Like, as a man, like, for someone to bullshit you, it for me personally, it pisses me off. Just tell me the truth.
Yeah,
that way we don't try to cover up anything.
Well, it's such blatant, it's so obvious too, like, right after. But we've been thinking about, really, were you thinking about me, or did you just happen to watch what's going on in Dynamite and say, oh, remember that guy?
Yeah,
we'll sign him. Like, what do they think? How stupid do you have to be to fall for that? And some people, I shouldn't say fall for it, some people go for it because they want it. That's great. But if you have other options, and just as a man, like you said, that's pretty, like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, it's just like, I'm pretty sure they saw the battle royal I was in, and I didn't know I was getting signed, and it's just like, I took my chances saying no. Like,
Oh, so that was, so you said no to them and then you had, but you weren't signed here yet?
No.
See, that's cool. So a lot of people would not have done that.
You know, I just didn't have all, you know, money coming in. It's like, you know, I was, you know, getting, yeah, and it, I'm cool. I'm kind of good at going with my gut sometime. You know, I believe that.
And that's also shows your conviction. Cause I'm the same way. Like, sometimes the proven easy route, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to work out. It's not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And even just being backstage there and here, I'm sure you saw differences. It's
complete opposite. Like here, everybody is cool. Like I see everyone mingling, you know, with the extras when they're here. People mingled with me when I was an extra. It's cool. It makes you feel like a part of the team, mm-hmm. and it makes you. For me, it made me feel like, okay, I want to come back and do this. Like, I know I'm not winning, but my job is to make, when I work Sean Spears, make Sean Spears look good. Mm-hmm. And Sean told me, he was like, hey, you know, thanks for selling that leg like that. And, you know, and just having people trust you. Because I think when I wrestled Sean, I maybe had like five dark matches for AEW. And he let me, he's like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to get in? I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, it made me feel good.
So just as we start to wind down here, now we mentioned right at the beginning being part of one of the main angles on the show and mm-hmm. obviously being a part of Team Taz and kind of building up this angle with Sting, which, yeah. and Darby, but you mentioned earlier Sting was one of your heroes.
Sting was my dude.
So how was that for you?
It is awesome. Like when he appeared for the
first... Did you know?
Not to like... couple hours before,
right, yeah.
I'm like, I still ain't seen dude, like, is he gonna appear on the screen or what? When he came out and that snow was coming out, I'm looking around, I kid you not, I'm like, I'm yelling, oh my god, oh my god. And it was just so loud out there.
Yes.
It was loud.
It was a great night. That was the biggest pop we've had in the post-pandemic mm-hmm. era. Yeah.
And I'm just like looking, I'm just like, I remember watching WCW and, you know, Sting would come out, how the NWO would like just be in the ring. Of course they knew, but it was just like me. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? He's walking out all slow, and I got goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it is awesome.
It's another one of those moments where you're like, holy smokes.
Yeah, like, I'm here.
I'm here, yeah.
Like, this is going to be one of the top moments in this company, mm-hmm. and I'm part of it.
How was it, and how did you find out that you're going to be a part of Team Taz?
Tony told me. He's mm-hmm. like, you know, we got this thing, you know, we want you a part of it. I'm like, cool. I know Ricky. I know Brian. Like, got to know Taz pretty well. I'm like, let's do it. And watching ECW when I was a kid, I remember the FTW title. And just Taz reminds me of so many people from where I grew up, like, just a badass. Like, I was like, yeah. Okay, I can be a part of this, like. You know, I'm from the hood. I can get down with this, beating up people. And,
right.
you know, it's just awesome. Because the whole thing with Team Taz, Darby, and Sting, it's a thing that's going on weekly and weekly.
It's a long-term storyline.
Yeah, and it's building up. And I'm, like I said, I'm what, in my fourth month into my contract? And, like, this is tight. It's cool. Like, I cannot complain.
I remember the first time I worked with Hogan. And I worked with him probably for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time working with him was like, you know, I was a big Hogan fan when I was a kid, and to be in the ring where he was like, hey, you got a brother, you take care of me, and I was basically saying, like, put together the match.
Oh, nice.
Tell him what you want to do. Because, well, we worked house shows and everything. And that was really cool, like, A, like you said, I'm really here, but then also to, like, have the fact that he's trusting me to put together the whole match,
yeah.
and we're having great matches and figuring it out and having lots of fun. You know, it's a cool feeling. I'm sure you'll get the same with Sting, because Sting's awesome. But he's also one of those guys that shows up. He's like, just tell me what you want me to do, guys.
Yeah, I've heard him say that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, this is cool. Like, and, you know, the moment that I've had with him when he came out, and I'm walking towards him, and, you know, the gang's pulling me back. Like, you know, like, what's up? Like, let's get it, you know? So that was pretty cool.
How was it when you first met him? Was it after the show?
It was after we did the
segment.
Yeah, he came up to me, thanked me, and I'm like, thank you. I was like, you
were a big influence in my childhood. And he's like, that means a lot. And he like looked me in my eyes like, we need to talk. Like I truly appreciate that. Because I had got into my grandma's makeup kit and tried to put my own little face paint on. And I had to end up going outside getting the switch. Because my grandma's like, get that switch right there. And I already knew what it was, but it was...
That's some old school stuff right there.
Yeah.
Explain what a switch is.
A switch is where it's a branch off a tree. Like, you have to... I try picking the smallest ones, and my grandma be like, nah, try that
she
again.
She makes you pick your own switch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even worse. So basically, you're going to get hit with this thing.
Yeah.
So you got to go out and pick out the thing that you're going to get hit with.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it just... You pull off the other little extension of the branches, the leaves, and... Yeah, I would try to bend it just a little bit, so when she hit me the first time, it break, and she finally got a hold of it, and she's like, no. She's like, sit your ass right there. I'm going to go get one. So,
but you got to incorporate that into a match one day. You pull out the switch.
It was funny one time. I put up on my Facebook page, like, kids today will not know what this is. And my son looked at it and was like, what is that? I'm like, it's a switch. He's like, what do you do with it? And I'm like, well, act up and let's see. But it's, yeah.
It's one of those things when my kids were really little, my pastor's actually said, you know, if it gets out of control, spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Just once.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I can't do it. He goes, I'm telling you. So with my son one time, he went through this phase where he was like, he thought it was funny to punch everybody in the balls. And I was like, stop. And he did it. And I said, okay. Pull the pants down and give him the hand switch.
Yep.
Crying, screaming. But anytime after that, all I had to say was, you want a spanking? Nope.
Yep.
You want the switch? Nope.
Yep. You know what I mean? I think for the after I got a real good one, like, she made me go pick it and like get a, you know, that's something wrong, grab another one. It was just like a lecture after. And I'm just like staring at the switch, and she knew she like had my full attention. Like, I ain't cutting up no more. Like,
last question for you, man. Actually, two questions. Who are you looking forward to working with here in AEW? And what's your favorite match that you ever had since you've been here?
My favorite match that I've had that I've been here was probably the... It's a tie between when Ricky and I went up against Darby and Cody and the six-man we had for Brody's tribute.
And that was you?
It was... Team Taz, so myself, Ricky, and Cage versus 10.
Cody. And Cassidy.
Yes.
That was a good match. Yeah, that was great.
That was just, it was amazing. The time that I was here that I got to know Brody was amazing, because right after my first dark match with Orange, he pulled me aside and talked to me. And he, ever since, every match that I've had, he watched. Always gave me advice. So that was just awesome, because my whole family loved him. Like, when he was in the Wyatt family, like,
we all loved him.
Yeah, it was just, he was a real good person. And that meant a lot to me for him to pull me aside, didn't know me, to say, hey, you're a big man, don't do this. Try this. This worked. That didn't work. And it.
The same thing that you and I discussed in the past?
Yeah. And
if you're big, not a lot of big guys in this company, right? So if you're big, work big.
Yeah, I remember I did a did a frog splash in the match, and you told me, he's like, I know you can do it, but you don't need to do it.
Doesn't mean you have to do it.
Yeah, and I ain't done it since. And I just, you know, just you and you guys pulling me aside, man. Like I said earlier, that just means so much. Like, I'm not the type to just say yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. This and that. Like, mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying because I want to be here for a mm-hmm. long time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be one of those guys. Okay, well, this guy just doesn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you can tell quickly.
So I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite. And who do I look forward working? I got a list. I got a list. Like, it would mean the world. Like, to work you, just work. I want to work Warlow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we will have great chemistry, big man match. I want to work everyone, to be honest with you. I know it sounds cliche, but I just want to work.
everyone. I want to continue to learn and win championships and be the man. Like, just like, can't dude, wait.
You're off to a great start, man. Thank it's great you. To have you here on the roster.
Thank you. I appreciate
sure.
that.
Got to get that switch.
As you can yes, s- yes. Switch that match. You know what? Sting has the bat. We may need to bring switches to the ring.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.